murder. Swerving with my circus, looking for a purpose. Pseudo clean record, hope got another surface.
There's some Vivek lovers in this chat. Dang. On the Slack channel tonight, man. I wish more people would have got on the Slack channel because that was a good one, right? And we damn sure went over 1,000 comments for sure. But man, there's a lot of different ways of looking at the debate, right? You know, you got to try to take the subjectivity out of it and look at it objectively, right? And I mean, I guess we could rank them, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was actually good. I didn't think it was a complete shit show. I don't think it was that bad. There were some moments, obviously. Well, let's get into it, man. I mean, I have it up on my other computer right here. There, Fox is actually replaying it as we're recording this, and I'll just start out. Let's just go from the beginning, right? They put up Oliver. What's his name? Oliver. The rich man from Richmond, Oliver Anthony. They put his song up there, and they said, "What do you think about this?" You know, whatever. And no one actually addressed the song. Even Vivek, who called it out, you know, pretty quick, was like, "Everybody's got their canned statements out of the way." He didn't even address the song, but that's where it started. And I think Roger was right. I think he was the one that made the comment, or maybe it's Josh, that they're all just going to do canned speeches no matter what the first question is. So. That was a good call. So, I mean, I guess, Josh, what did you think? I mean, just like initial thoughts.
So my initial thoughts is I think the biggest loser is Mike Pence, and not because Mike Pence is a loser in general, just because he got his ass handed to him.
He got owned, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki Haley gave him the people's elbow like four or five times. You know, I mean, even Tim Scott didn't beat him up too much. But, you know, Nikki Haley gave him, she did that. And then she came in there at the end and, you know, she dropped the stone cold stunner on him. And then Vivek came in like right after he was getting up from that stunner and gave him the Diamond Dallas Page diamond cutter. Like, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal.
Was it necessary? That's why I'm like, dude, I mean, what was all this ire from Mike Pence? Did he just piss everybody? Because it wasn't really necessary to do that. I kind of think it was, though.
Yeah,
because Mike Pence, dude. his attitude, the way he portrayed himself. Yeah, I think it was completely necessary.
Electorally, though. I mean, because Mike Pence is not a threat. He's not a threat at all to anybody up there except for maybe Burgum or Hutchinson.
Mike Pence isn't it's hard to say though, because Mike Pence represents the guy.
Yeah, he represents the establishment.
If Ronna McDaniel had to pick somebody on that stage tonight, it's Mike Pence. So if the RNC is like, okay, we got to pick somebody tonight, it's Mike Pence. Had to come in and they had to be aggressive on him. But I mean, at the end of the day, man, it was like, dude, Mike Pence was basically Tina Turner and everybody else on that stage was Ike, especially Haley and Vivek.
Out the evangelical vote, right? Let's make him look stupid to the evangelicals who he's trying to appeal to. Let's take him out so he'll look stupid to, you know, I mean, to my parents, right, who are, you know, he invoked Reagan like three times. It's like, okay, bro, the first time was good. So I get what you're saying. That makes complete sense. Thank you.
So I think the biggest loser is Mike Pence. I think the biggest winner is Vivek.
Well, the biggest would have been Christie. I mean,
Chris Christie needs to be the biggest loser. Right. So I'm getting to Christie. So, but I think the biggest winner is Vivek, because even up to this point, he's been a large unknown. Not a lot of people know who he is. Not a lot of people have heard him talk in large forums like that. I don't like Vivek, but I think Vivek did very, very well. Again, he's super polished. He's young. He's energetic. And he breaks things down, like, you know, somebody said it in on the Slack channel. He breaks things down, you know, to where it's easy for folks to understand. And he's got those sound bites, right? He's basically Twitter up there, or X, right? He is X up there. Hey, here's 240 characters. You can break it down real easy. It's easy to digest and it's memorable, right? I thought his closing statement was fantastic. you know, especially appealing to a somewhat younger generation, like the under 40 generation, even the under 30 generation. Like it's, you know, it's easy for those folks to break that down. So again, I don't like him, but I think he's the biggest winner because people know him now. People are going to hear that name. If I had to rank them, I think, you know, the top three would be Vivek, Ron DeSantis, and then Haley. Haley was very strong. Haley fell off with her Ukraine stance. I think she lost a lot of folks with that Ukraine stance. And then the biggest on stage, like you guys said, is Chris Christie with his 48% body fat.
So do you think it's 48?
That's my initial thoughts.
Do you think it's more like over 50? He's over 50.
It's got to be, yeah. So those are my initial thoughts.
So very similar to what Josh said. And I think all of us, one, thanks to everybody that hopped in on the Slack channel, like Lou said, it's pretty awesome. I think it was a way better form than Facebook, and you're not having to go back and refresh, and it's easy to go back and look through threads. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, Vivek is, one, he's young. He resonates with the youth. And when you look at even his closing statements, and I'm not a Vivek supporter or you know, I wouldn't vote for him at this point. Will you give me the middle finger for? I'm just saying, I'm getting ready to say something nice.
It's kind of a joke.
I'm getting ready to say something nice. But all he did was go down and list the traditional GOP party platform. That's what he did. You know, so I think Josh hit it on the head when you start talking about the Twitter 240 or 140 or whatever the heck it is now. I mean, it's like, man, you just got to break it down Barney style to these guys and gals. You know, list those platform bullet points, say it with some charisma. You know, you remember the old days where it was the thumb, you remember the power thumb, you know, when you had the fist and you know, and then, you know, the military is always the knife hand. I mean, dude, he's, you know, he's polished. So he did all of that. Now there's a lot more to be said for some substance, right? I mean, he kind of, you know, it's kind of weird because you have to read him in between the lines with him because he was very direct in his answers, but they were very broad answers. So there's a lot of stuff that you need to go dig in there. And, you know, like with the Ukraine thing, I thought he had some good answers. But like Luke mentioned, you know, the issue really, and this is what I hate about the moderators. It really isn't the Ukraine piece. It's really the accountability of what's going on in Ukraine. And they missed the bigger picture on that. But, you know, I think my big surprise, and much like Josh, I think Vivek, you know, ran away with it. I would actually put a tie, you know, and I do agree with him with the fall off with Nikki at the end, but between Nikki and Ron DeSantis tied second, third, you could flip flop either of them. Nikki was on point for most of the night. Everybody else just pretty much sucked. You know, Tim Scott, I'm a big Tim Scott supporter. He fell off at the second half, right? He had a couple, you know, and it's a tough form because it's one of those where you can't be like Pence where you're just like trying to interject after every single sentence that somebody else is saying. But you have to be assertive somewhere. And he just kind of fell to the wayside. And as far as Asa and Doug, I mean, dude, you know, never had a shot anyway. Didn't really care what to, you know, to hear what they had to say. And even their responses. I mean, I think, you know, Chris Christie got booed. You know, I thought they were literally going to have to bring the big cane and like drag his ass off the stage because he was being booed so loudly. You know, but going back to the Pence thing, well, Josh is saying Vivek did not run away with it. I think he did. I mean, just my opinion. I think when you look at, and when I say run away with it, I think if you were to look at it, I believe 99% of the people said that he outperformed everybody else on stage. And that to me, if that's the case, that to me is running away with it. And you guys disagree. That's fine. He's making funny, you know, faces at me or whatever the case is. Now, does the guy have a shot in the primary or the general? I don't believe so. I think Luke said that, you're probably looking at a vice president, and maybe that's the plan, right? Is to look at that vice presidential run. As far as Pence though, everybody beating up on him. One, he was just an easy target. Like he could not get off the X. Like, you know, he's the kid that just keeps coming back, and there's something to be said for some resiliency, but you got to be smart enough to know that, hey dude, like everybody's kicking my ass. It's time for me to leave this fight. But he represents so much, right? He represents a lot of hate to a lot of people that cover a lot of different swaths. The, you know, the establishment, you know, he's the 1980s Republican. There's a reason why he was the VP pick for Trump, that the GOP wanted him to be the VP pick for Trump. So, you know, he represents the establishment. He represents, you know, the sellouts that were MAGA, you know, MAGA supporters, Trump supporters that, you know, that sold him out because he, you know, counted the electoral votes. You know, he represents the anger of the people that are like, well, hey, now you're sitting here and you're flip-flopping in your statements and now you're going against Trump, you know, as far as the indictments and this, that. So he represents so much, you know, there's a better term for it, but, you know, hatred that covers a broad swath. So that's my initial take off, you know, off the debates.
So I don't know if you guys know this, but Fox, Fox News, I think, did a serious boner with, their broadcast rights for this thing. No one out there, no other media outlet out there can use legally more than 3 minutes of coverage of this debate. I think that's a big mistake. I think that's a huge mistake on Fox's part. It's like, I don't know what their thinking was on that.
I think CNN started that with the, it was either during the last election or the one before.
But yeah, I think that's a bad precedent for the American people. I really do. But So the way I have them ranked is, you got to look at it objectively, right? Like, who benefited the most, who benefited the least. So when I say Vivek won the debate, I'm saying he benefited most, right? It doesn't mean I think he had the best performance necessarily, okay? Because he had a couple boners
so
in there.
So then who had the best performance then?
Vivek. Well, who had the best performance?
Then he won.
It depends. It's very subjective. It's very subjective on who had the best performance, in my opinion. It's subjective.
Okay.
Because to me, personally, Vivek comes off as very slippery, very polished, much like Josh is saying, very much like Barack Obama when he was in the Senate and during his run for president. I don't trust him. That's very subjective. But judging by that metric, he had the best performance because it is very slick. Barack Obama was very slick. He was very well polished. He was very well spoken, according to Joe Biden. So, yeah, I mean, the best performance, look, who benefited the most? I want to go down the subjective road. Who benefited the most? Absolutely, Vivek Ramaswamy did. Second, I have Nikki Haley. I mean, good God, she blew it out of the water. In fact, I would put her performance in my mind, I put her performance as number one. I didn't like her answer on the Ukraine question, but man, her performance she benefited tremendously, in my opinion. Third, RDS, Ron DeSantis. You know, I have Burgum after that. And the reason I have that is who benefited the most. Nobody knew who he was. I liked almost all his answers.
We had to look him up.
Yeah. It's like that gimpy dude walking up on stage, tearing his hamstring or whatever he did playing basketball. He benefited a lot from that. Because now people's like, okay, this dude, all right, I can get with that. Chris Christie after that. Pence. And then we're talking about who benefited the most and least, right? Pence, because Pence did mix it up a little bit. He boxed around. Then I have Scott, because Tim Scott did not do himself any favors in that debate. So he benefited very little. And of course, Asa Hutchinson. I mean, he's last. It's like, dude, I mean, you didn't do anything for yourself. Nobody knows who you are. Absolutely nobody cares. You're taking time away from people we want to actually hear. So I thought that right off the bat, or not necessarily right off the bat, Tim Scott, I think we said it in the Slack. It's like, dude was shook. The first time that Brett brought receipts, Tim Scott was shook. You could see it. His voice nearly quivered. He was physically, you could tell he wasn't ready for that. And maybe he should have been. So that right off the bat, Tim Scott was shook. And I hate to see that because I'm like you, Roger. I like Tim Scott a lot. But dude, that debate showed me he's not ready. He probably never will be ready. What I liked about Ron DeSantis was the climate change question, right? He's like, no, I'm not going to answer that. We're all adults here. Don't make me raise my hand like a child, like you did with the Democrats back in, you know, when they were doing the primaries back in 2020. Don't do that. No, I don't think this question deserves an answer. So I'm gonna just talk about something else. You can try to make me. I liked the way he handled that. I don't think that can work in all cases. But he's just like, no, y'all don't raise your hands. We're adults here. Let's discuss this. I liked that. When Chris Christie, I knew someone was going to bring up that Chris Christie hugged Obama, and Vivek was the one that did that. Cause that's it's almost too easy. Right. So it was kind of a softball for Vivek, but I really liked this dude. Sounds like a ChatGPT. When Chris Christie said that, I was like, oh, here we go. And
that was canned though. He was waiting to use that. He was waiting
as Vivek was waiting to use, and everyone else on stage that he hugged Obama. So what I did not like about Vivek was, it's like, come on, man. And this is what the 3 minutes that CNN and MSNBC are going to use is when Vivek said every person up there is bought and paid for. Well, he said, I'm the only one who's not. And it's like, even the audience booed him on that one. It's like, really, dude, you're gonna throw that out there? Nah, I thought that was a bad move on his part. I liked how Nikki Haley just 187 Mike Pitts multiple times. Burgum, I think we all agreed, had the best answer on the abortion.
I
don't know.
10th Amendment, dude. We've been saying it for like years, right? I mean,
Burgum.
Lord, it's so easy to answer that question.
And that, yeah, I mean, it's just like, whatever. So I thought Vivek, good Lord, it was pretty good, but it didn't go over well with the audience. If you go back and listen to it, what he said was just like, man, that's a zinger, but it didn't go over well with the audience because Nikki Haley played the woman card and she played it well.
Yep.
She played it well. And then Vivek said, good luck on your future career on the board of Lockheed and Raytheon. And it's like, that did not go over well with the audience. Although it was a zinger, it was well placed. It didn't go over well. So, I mean, because she was doing really well. So, I don't know. Josh, those are kind of what I took out of it. Again, I got Vivek, Haley, Ron DeSantis, Burgum, Christie, Pence, Scott, Hutchison.
Yeah, I didn't even read anybody outside of
didn't Vivek, need to.
Haley, and RDS. I did, again, I did like Bumgarner's, Burgum, whatever his name is. I did like his answer on the abortion. And that's and we've talked about it, you know, a lot of times on the podcast. That's the answer it should be. And that should be the GOP standard talking point on abortion. Like when people ask, you know, do you support a federal? No, I don't support a federal anything. The Supreme Court has determined that it is not, you know, a purview of the federal government to answer to that. And now is it up to the people of the states? So go ask the governors and go ask the people in the states. The
federal government has something,
zero
Josh?
Role in this.
Can I ask you something? You thank you. So polite. So polite this late at night. So do you find it fascinating, Josh, that the abortion debate with those on stage, you had the hardliners, which were very few on stage tonight, but now we're actually talking about, what's the word? It's not compromise. It's not concession. It's a meeting in the middle. I'm blanking on the word.
Consensus.
There is a lot more talk within on that stage tonight about consensus rather than yes or no. So 100% it should go to the states. But do you find it odd or remarkable in any way that the GOP is starting to kind of like, okay, there's an actual conversation now about abortion? Because I think I see it. I mean, there's consensus. Can we establish these things?
Well, I think it's odd that the GOP can't get out of their own way on this, because there doesn't need to be consensus in the party outside of this belongs to the states, period, done. What's your next question? Because we're done talking about abortion at that point, because it doesn't matter what me as an elected official thinks. It doesn't matter what me as a senator, me as a representative, me as a president or whatever thinks. The Supreme Court has ruled. It's the right ruling. It's the correct ruling. So ask me something else. Let's talk climate change. Let's talk anything else, because the abortion issue is done. It's dead to me.
Why can't they get that?
Because they can't get out of their own way. Because
it's Pence's
answer. Because of people like Mike Pence. Exactly. Because of people like Mike Pence, who, you know, and you know, everybody accused him of being like, you know, Handmaid's Tale, you know, and stuff. But they just, it's the Mike Pence, and it's the establishment like Mike Pence. They can't get out of their own damn way. And it's like, look, at the end of the day, I don't think abortion is moral. I damn sure don't think, you know, no limit abortion is moral. But at the federal level, that's not for me to decide. That's for the states. I will shout it from the rooftops every chance I get that I think it's immoral and I think the state should, you know, should ban it. And I think the state should do this. But as far as like, we're going to pass a bill, we're going to, you know, put, you know, executive order, we're going to put legislation in front. Like that's the wrong answer. It just is. It's not any more right than, you know, late term abortion or abortion in general. It's to me.
Well, because you're able to draw a line between personal belief and governing. Right. Exactly. And that's what Nikki Haley, I thought she framed that very well when she was like, you're going to get 65, 66 senators to vote for this?
Boom.
No. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was 100. She knocked it out of the park on that one and really put Pence in his place. It's like, you are not living in reality, you know, and talking about abolishing the FBI. Hey, I would love it. I would love Vivek's answer. But it's like, dude, like is 10. That, is that reality? Let's talk about reality for a second.
The chief executive can't even fire an employee in the executive branch, let alone get rid of an agency in the executive branch. So, yeah. So, I mean, those are all pipe dreams, right? Abolishing the FBI, Department of Education, as much as it needs to happen, as much as this country needs that to happen for its survival, it's never going to happen. And literally outside of somebody like me coming in and putting the we're just going to suspend the Constitution for 12 months to save the Constitution.
Marshall Josh.
It's just not going to happen. I'm telling you
General
right now.
Marshall Josh.
I could feel his smile through Slack when Vivek went down the list of the agencies that he would just cut and get rid of. I was like, oh, my Lord.
I don't trust Vivek. I don't like Vivek. But when he said that, I was like, this guy gets that part. Like he's speaking to me. I'll ask you this, Luke, and hand over to you. So before we went into the debate tonight, you know, the crowd it's muddled. There's no clear front runner. There's no clear, okay, this is probably the person that's going to take on Donald Trump. Did that change in this debate?
Okay. Let's go to pretend world real quick. And this is for our listener, Rodney, who was in the Slack channel tonight. If you eliminated Donald Trump from the equation completely, I would have a totally different outlook on how it went down tonight. And my rankings, because I had Vivek, Haley, and then Ron DeSantis. Let's just say Trump's out of the picture. If Trump was completely out of the picture, this would have been a much more interesting debate to answer your question, John. Because I'd be like Rodney. I seriously would be thinking Vivek if Trump was out of the picture. I'd be like, you know what? Holy crap. I do like it. But since Trump is in the picture, I don't see it like that. I don't see it like that at all. So if Trump was out of the picture, it would be Vivek, Ron DeSantis, then Nikki Haley. Or Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley would be like, I'd be right there. I don't know. I'm going to have to see more debates between these people, right? I'm going to have to see more campaigning. But since Trump is in the picture, the way I see it is Vivek is taking votes away from the person most likely to win in a general election. Right? Because Trump, I think that it's not impossible for Trump to win a general election, but I think it's highly unlikely. So I see Vivek is taking votes away from a Ron DeSantis. That's what I see. So I don't know. I don't think. I think that kind of answers your question. But Vivek, absolutely. If Trump is out of the picture, Vivek really swayed me to his side. But what we have to remember, Rodney and everybody else, is there's still a Donald Trump out there who is very unlikely to win the general election. So taking votes away from Ron DeSantis, who is the most likely on that stage to win a general election, in my opinion, is not a good thing. So I don't hold that personally against Vivek Ramaswamy, but it's just like, you know, you didn't do our side any favors, even though you performed really well. I mean, Roger, where am I wrong right there? I
think the only thing that you're wrong about is it's not Vivek taking votes away from Ron. Ron's been giving them away. You know, I waited to see the big, I mean, you guys can shake your head. I waited to see the big pop when Ron DeSantis come, you know, when he came out and declared himself, because right now in the primaries, I'm probably a Ron DeSantis voter. Strictly on the electoral map. You know, we talked about this, three episodes ago, in the states that you've either got to carry Georgia and Arizona, or if you don't carry one of those, well, now you got to carry Pennsylvania and or Michigan and or Wisconsin. It's just not going to happen for him, okay? So, you know, as much as I like the guy, whatever, you have to look at the general election electoral map. And I think Ron DeSantis can carry. I think he would carry Arizona. I think he would carry Georgia. And then it's over. It's lights out, right? But we just haven't seen that big push from him for whatever reason. We can debate that, but you know, we haven't seen that big push from him in the polls where he's really making those leaps and bounds. What kind of separate, what I did like, and I guess I'll ask this as I read Josh's thing, like, what did you guys think of the moderators? Because I thought they did a pretty good job, but the one thing that pissed me off, and I thought Ron DeSantis did a great job with this, when Brett Baird came and said, you know, something along the lines of crime in Florida, you know, and Ron's like, what are you talking about? He's like, it's been declining and it's the lowest in 50 years. And Brett Baird was like, well, Miami's gone up.
Yeah.
Well, mother effer, Miami ain't all of Florida. You know, but what that did show me a snippet of, and this is the difference between Vivek just doesn't have the past performance for me. Don't get me wrong. You know, again, we provide analysis. I provide analysis. It doesn't mean I support the guy. So there's a difference. The guy's charismatic. He resonates with the youth. But Ron DeSantis has the past performance that you can look at as a governor. So whether he gets up there and he's personable, whether he's got the charisma, whether his wife's eyebrows aren't done right, or whatever the heck the left is trying to pick on him for this week, I know what he's done in Florida. And I expect that he would do the same, you know, for the country, you know, obviously at that executive level. It just, his level, he knows his stuff. He knows his numbers. And he was able to come right back and like, no, you're not going to play that on me because Florida's numbers are the lowest in 50 years. He has the data and he knows it. And I don't think I saw that too often. Now that I think back at it, as we talk about it, I'm not sure I heard that level of specificity from any of the other candidates out there. So I'll throw it over to Josh real quick. I mean, what do you think of the moderators overall?
I thought overall they were actually decent. And again, I'm not necessarily a Brett Baird fan, but you know, I mean, they,
why not?
What's that? Why not?
Yeah.
He's too, I don't know, man, for me, he's too Brit Hume. I don't know what it is about him. It's just, he's like a young Brit Hume and I don't know. I'm just not he's okay. I don't dislike the guy, but I don't really like him. Like when I see him, you know, talking on TV and stuff, like I don't stop. I keep changing the channel.
Disingenuous. What he asked, and he knew it was disingenuous because he came back and said Miami. So he didn't say Miami's crime rate was going up. He knew that it was disingenuous. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah. And so I think, and that brings up a larger point, I think, is the entire debate format is broken, you know, and we've kind of talked about this before. We talked about this in 2020, especially you can't do it in this type of, you know, how many people, eight candidates on the stage? Like you can't do a Lincoln Douglas, you know, format style, you know, with eight people on the stage. But once it gets down to two, you know, once you're in the general, like that should be a Lincoln Douglas style debate. Like we're going 3 hours, your ass is sitting in front of Joe Rogan, and that's the debate. That's it. Like that's how it needs to be done. But they have to ask the proper questions to be able to get those answers out for people to talk about that specificity. Because a lot of these questions that, you know, that Brett Baird and what's her face asked, the questions they were, you know, it was the raise your hand. Or do you agree with X? And it's like, well, there's a lot of variables that go into that. So, you know, I can't say just yes or no, because that's going to be
a soundbite. But you got 30 seconds.
Right. You got 30 seconds. Like, how do you solve climate change? You have 30 seconds. You're like, really? Are you serious? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. How do you fix the problems at the southern border? You have 30 seconds. It's a lightning round. You're like, you can't talk about the nuances and get into the policy. And that's what people should care about are the policy. What policies, how are you going to fix this? So Tim Scott's up there talking about, we're going to bring jobs back from China. Okay. That's fantastic, Tim. How are you going to do that? Like specifically, what policy are you going to put into place that is going to incentivize and entice these companies to come back and bring jobs back to the United States? That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear how we just need to bring jobs back from, you know, China and we need to secure our southern border. Okay, fantastic. How? What policies are you going to put into place? Are you going to put the Remain in Mexico policy back into place? Are you going to do that by executive order so it can be changed in 4 years? Or are you actually going to push through legislation to make it a little bit harder to change? That's what people want to hear, and that's what people want to talk about. They don't want to hear these sound bites, but they only have 30 seconds to answer, right? How do you solve, what's your plan to solve world hunger? You have 30 seconds. You're like, what? the format and the questions have to change, and the questions have to be very, the specificity in the questions has to really be drilled down on to get to the meat of this stuff. Because if not, it's like, you know, at the very beginning, it's people get, they're going to give their canned answers for, you know, for 60 minutes. And that's all we're going to get until we get to a one-on-one. And by that time, you've already picked your, you know, who's going to represent the party. And it's too late at that point. You got what you got.
So I think it'll be very interesting to look at the ratings. Okay. I think it'll be very interesting to look at the ratings for tonight versus the numbers on the initial numbers on Tucker's thing that started 5 minutes before the debate. Right. I think it'll be very interesting to look at that. I think that since Trump didn't do it live, it's pre-recorded, I think the numbers may be skewed a little bit, and we may not be able to, we may not know, because people can go back and watch that. Right. So, you know, if there's X number of viewers tonight on Fox, and then next week there's, you know, the X number of viewers on Tucker's is so much higher than Trump's, or than the debate, people go, oh, Trump knocked him out of the water. I don't believe that. I think they need to look at the numbers tonight for Trump versus the numbers.
He's already at 89 million views on this thing.
Okay, so that's probably more than what tuned into the, I don't know. We'll see. But to Josh's point, that all of this needs to be changed. There's some good news and bad news on this, right? The bad news is listening to Pence's out-of-date ass, who is so out of touch, talking about, no, this country is great. It's like, yeah, Pence, where have you been for the last 20 years? Are you going to just reawaken everyone? Is this going to be some kind of tent revival that we're going to have? You're just going to bring everybody around tomorrow? No, bro, you've got to change with the times, okay? So they're so out of touch. And I'm not talking about just everyone on stage. I'm talking about the entire establishment is so out of touch with how things go right now. And to Josh's point about fixing this whole thing, long form, Josh mentioned Joe Rogan. I guarantee you, Joe Rogan's latest episode, no matter who was on it, has twice as many views, or will have by next week, twice as many views and listens to the whole thing, or at least over half of it, than Trump's appearance on Tucker. I promise you that. This nation, right, is into the long form. That's the good news. People want to dig in. They want to hear about it. They want to hear more than a 30-second soundbite. They want to hear a good moderator. And Joe Rogan's a good moderator. Listen to him. He's good. He keeps people on topic. That's why he doesn't want to have Trump in there, because he knows he's not going to be able to control him. He knows it'll be a shit show. We need a transition to a long-form type debate that's mainly online, with a Joe Rogan or a Ben Shapiro or a Young Turks kind of guy. I can't think of his name right now, on both sides. I'm telling you, but the bad news is it'll take too much time for the establishment to go back because of anyone. Because RFK is doing it right now, and RFK is getting traction. He's going on the podcast and he's getting traction. How else would he get traction? But he knows it. And he's running a good campaign. I wish the people running his campaign would run Ron DeSantis's campaign. You know, Ron DeSantis, I will go back. I know I'm talking too much, and our sound engineer is just, we're going to have to pay him overtime for this. But look, Ron DeSantis was on the right track with the Twitter thing. It's just the execution just didn't happen. Wasn't his fault. But I'm telling you, in 2028, that will be what everyone's doing. They'll go to whatever platform is trending, and that's how they'll announce. They won't do it the old way. So, it needs to be fixed. It's just not going to happen quick. So I had a good time tonight. It was great. I wish that it happened earlier in the day so we could, you know, spend 2 hours recording this stuff. But I really enjoyed the back and forth. I learned a lot. Learned a lot from the comments you guys made, the back and forth. And that's what I love about this whole process.
So my final thought, and I'll kick it to Josh to close out. Again, loved it. Loved the participation on Slack. You hit it on the head, Luke. And RFK said that during his Joe Rogan interview, that's the method. That's the way you need to go, because there's a lot of things. And Nikki Haley tried to touch on it, but again, 30 seconds. You know, with the, how are you going to get 70 senators? How are you going to get 66 senators? You know, you have to be able to legislate this stuff. My final thought is I'm going to change the winner of the debate, I think, was Donald Trump. And I think he was the winner of the debate because by him not showing up, now you guys can, yeah, I get it. Here's my point. By him not showing up, he left room for a true breakout. I needed Ron DeSantis to really break out. I don't feel that he, I don't think any of those guys, I think you'll see some shifting in the polls amongst themselves. But, and Josh, when, you know, you can answer this when you close out, you know, do you think that anybody pulled any numbers from Trump? And that's my point. You needed a true breakout because the farther and the longer this goes, and you're down 40 or 50 points or whatever the number is today, it becomes harder to win, obviously, but you start to lose support, you start to lose donors, you start to lose money, you know, and I understand why Trump wasn't there strategic. You know, one, I believe everybody should be willing to debate. I understand strategically why he wasn't there, but then I was also thinking, like, man, this could be a mistake because if he's there, it's a shit show. It becomes about him. He's going to suck all the air out of the room and then it's over with, right? So with him not being there, there was a lot of room there for somebody to grow and blow through this, you know, the ceiling. And I'm not sure I saw that. I really wanted Ron DeSantis to do it. He had a couple shining moments there, but you know, it goes back to like Josh said, you know, you've got eight people up on stage, you've got 30 seconds. So it's hard to really blow the roof off anything with 30 seconds. You know, I'll steal his thunder. RDS needs to go on Rogan. Absolutely. One, he does fantastic on one-to-one interviews, right? And when you're doing that one-to-one interview, you're not in front of a crowd. So you're not out there yelling and screaming and pumping everybody up and showing that charisma, but he's articulate. He's calm, cool, and collected. You know, he's got the numbers there to back it up. So, you know, he brings his receipt. So, you know, you sit down with a Joe Rogan, you do the long format, you break it all out. And that's how he's going to resonate with voters. So that's my final take right now. I'll throw it over to Josh.
Roger, always faithful. Always faithful to DJT. Never.
Man. So do you think anybody pulled any significant numbers from Trump?
Do I think anybody pulled any significant numbers from Trump? No. I don't think anybody pulled any significant numbers from
Trump. I think not significant, but based on our audience tonight, I think that Rodney and Damon might vote for Vivek over Trump.
They were Trump haters anyway. They were Trump haters
well,
anyway.
Well, Damon was, but not...
Damon was a Trump hater anyway.
Not necessarily
just giving
Rodney.
Her a shout out.
I didn't know Damon was a Trump hater, so shout out to Damon. I did not know that. I apologize to you, Damon. Sorry,
Damon. You know what? Nobody, he's been pretty
nobody
objective.
Pulled any... Yeah, he
He's
has
been pretty objective.
100%.
Nobody pulled any votes from Trump, but Trump didn't pull any more votes either, right?
And he don't have to. He's up by 50 points in the primary.
Hey, Trump didn't pull it. You know what? I guarantee you, Trump's performance on Tucker. I haven't seen it. I'll watch it, you know, tomorrow. He didn't win any women or independent voters. I guarantee you. So the people who weren't going to vote for Trump before he sat down with Tucker aren't going to vote for Trump after watching him with Tucker.
It ain't gonna matter because the guys on stage tonight didn't do a good enough job to even make it to the general.
Yeah,
election.
This is where Fox, because the primary doesn't matter. The primary doesn't mean shit.
This
it's the general.
This is where Fox went wrong. This is where Fox went wrong because Vivek, if this would have been like widely televised and like a lot, Vivek could pull a lot of those people. I'm telling you, he could.
I'd buy that. You could see a 10-point bump. I mean, dude, he had a 6-point bump in New Hampshire in 2 weeks. So, I mean, when you look at the Tucker Carlson, I mean, Tucker Carlson, you know, for me, not that I was ever going to vote for Asa, Tucker Carlson ended his campaign right there with the whole, you know, gender affirming care and this and that or whatever. But I think you're absolutely right.
Vivek is a way better candidate than Trump. I'm just saying, way better. Sorry, Josh. We're derailing.
Vivek's not a good candidate because Vivek can't win a general.
He's better than Trump. He come closer than Trump, I'm telling you.
That's what I'm saying. He's better than Trump, but he's not a good candidate, right? So what does that tell you about Trump? So I know Roger's blood pressure is going through the roof right now.
No, it's not at all. We're just talking about the primaries. You got to get out of the primaries. If you can't win the primaries, it don't matter. I agree with you about the general, but you still have to win the primaries first. If you don't make it to the playoffs, you don't make it to March Madness, you have no hopes of winning the Final Four. That's a fact.
That's true. That's true, and people are going to vote in the primary based on emotion rather than logic, because this you know, and I think Luke actually said it, you know, in the Slack channel tonight, because people are going to vote because it feels good, right?
They want to. When was the last time they voted based on policy? When was the last time we elected anybody on the national level based on policy? I know we keep saying we're going to close
1980, out. 1980. 1980 with Ronald Reagan.
There you go.
Yeah, for sure. No, and that's a larger problem to fix. How do you fix that? 30 seconds. right. All right, Canteeners, we really appreciate it. Everybody who was in that Slack channel, man, it was fun. It was awesome. At the end of the day, people are gonna, are gonna attach their carts to, their chosen horse. But it is, a few of the candidates alluded to. At the end of the day, it's not about, our chosen candidates or anything. It's about the country, being able to, bounce back, and get back out of this. This decline, or as Carter labeled it, the malaise that we're currently in. So, again, appreciate everybody participating. Appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to our rantings. And until next time, keep those canteen cups full of some great whiskey. And we really hope to see you guys at the next debate on our Slack channel.